Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my good friend from Evidence Ministries out of San Antonio, Texas, Keith Walker. And we've been discussing, well, in the past couple of days, a number of things, how Keith got involved in the ministry, as well as defining terms. And at the end of yesterday's show, we were kind of starting our segue into the topic that we're going to discuss today, and that is dealing with what Keith has come to title the impossible gospel. And of course, if you know anything about what the gospel really entails, it sounds like an oxymoron, because right. If it's impossible to get the good news, then obviously it's not good news. And certainly when we look at the teachings of Mormonism, to us, it certainly looks like bad news. And I've said it many times. If a Mormon is hoping to achieve the best his religion has to offer him, which is exaltation in the celestial kingdom, I have yet to meet a Mormon who qualifies. I have yet to meet a Mormon that qualifies for the celestial kingdom.
Absolutely.
And if that's the case, there's something dreadfully wrong with this whole soteriology of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Does that sound mean? I would hope it doesn't, because if we do see that there's something wrong, I think Mormons should invite our inquiries. If they are concerned about themselves or even concerned about us, if we have it wrong, they should invite our inquiries. We should talk about this issue, because there's probably nothing more vital than knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven. That is what I hope, as a religious person, you are seeking. What does that mean? To basically have approval of God, to know that you are in right standing with God. We use the word justified in God's sight. We are made right in his presence. And so we're going to talk about that today, Keith. So I'm going to kind of let you go and tell how you developed this and what it entails.
I want to say it was probably 2003 when I was coming down to Manti. What the Christians will do is they get together at Ephraim Church of the Bible, and we'll have different people come in and kind of teach their approaches so that when people come, they can hear from a bunch of veterans on what they can use on the street that night. And I guess I've been invited to do that every year since then. And so I've really been teaching this approach for probably about the last 10 years. And because they want me to teach on the same thing every year, I feel like I've got to do something new. I've got to put some new twist or add some new verse or whatever. And I always add experiences that I have when speaking with Mormons about this issue. But last year, what I decided I wanted to do was go through the church manuals, the correlated manuals, and see exactly how they interpret the verses that we use when we speak to our Mormon friends, loved ones, strangers, whoever.
Excellent. Because we do want to know how those verses are interpreted by them.
It's authoritative, because exactly. Now it's no longer my opinion
right.
on what these verses mean. This is what the church officially teaches.
They cannot accuse you of taking something out of context if you are quoting an interpretation of that passage by a general authority or
right.
by one of their manuals. They just can't do that consistently. They might do it, but they can't be consistent in doing it.
Well, one of the criticisms that I got the year following that I did that was somebody mentioned that the correlated manuals were, how did he put it? They were inspired speculation.
Oh my.
And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. Inspired. How does that even make sense? Yeah. So I thought, all right, I'm going to take it up a notch. This year, I'm going to look at the same verses that we always use, Moroni 10:32, Alma 11:37, 2 Nephi 25:23, 1 Nephi 3:7, DNC 1:31 and 32, DNC 58:42 and 43, DNC 82:7, 82:10. I mean, we could go on. But we take these verses And there is a great little program that I found on the iPad where I can basically type in a verse, and it'll show me all of the instances where this verse has been used in general conference.
Oh, yeah, I have that app as well.
So a citation index, yeah. I believe it's called. So I thought, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to see how they use Moroni 1032.
So we would like to first thank the Mormon Church for putting a program like that together for us that we can use in sharing the faith with the Mormon people.
Well, that way we could be more accurate
Absolutely.
In what it is that their prophets, seers, and revelators are teaching during general conference when they're adding to the canon of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I've gone through these verses that we use all the time, and we read what it is that they say about them. And I can't tell you how many times they link Moroni 1032 with 2 Nephi 25:23. It's like they're saying, okay, this is a parallel passage. This is what they are saying.
We should probably tell people exactly what Moroni 1032 says.
Yeah.
Because it is a verse that we often use. It's at the very end of the Book of Mormon. And it says, and I'll read it, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness," not some, "and if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God." Why do we like that verse when we're talking with Mormons? Because it really shows the severity of what is required of the Latter-day Saint if they hope, in this case, to even receive the grace that is necessary to be exalted.
Right. One of the great conference quotes that I found was by James E. Faust. This is in October 2001. The talk is titled "The Atonement, Our Greatest Hope." And this is one of the parts where he links those two passages together, Moroni 10 with 2 Nephi 25.
That's saved by grace after all you
after
can
all
do.
You can
and
do.
You're right. A lot of commentaries and a lot of Mormon leaders do link those two, those two passages.
Well, here's what he says. "The atonement advances our mortal cause of learning by making it possible for our natures to become perfect." Moroni 10:32. "All of us have sinned and need to repent fully to pay italicized our part of the debt. When we sincerely repent, the Savior's magnificent atonement pays italicized the rest of that debt." Mm-hmm. 2 Nephi 25:23. So they emphasize it in the original. What Mormons are doing today is they're trying to say, well, 2 Nephi 25:23 really means that we're saved by grace in spite of what we do, not necessarily after all we can do. Mm-hmm. And of course, that word "after" is there for a reason. But when you have a general authority saying that we must first do our part, and what is our part? Our part is all you can do. Then they also link that to repentance. Repentance is all we can do. And that, again, is linked to Moroni chapter 10. That's what repentance looks like, to deny yourselves of all ungodliness, love God with all your might, all your mind, all your strength. Because D&C 1 says that you are forgiven by repentance. And this is how you can know that a man is repentant, is if you are forsaking your sins. Mm-hmm. Other places talk about, and then keeping the commandments. That's what Moroni 2 explains.
Let's go back to 2 Nephi 25:23, because this new type of interpretation that I find mainly being given by Mormon apologists who probably do see we have a point.
Right.
Really doesn't fit with the rest of Mormonism's soteriology in the grand scheme of things. Because when you tie it in with Moroni 10:32, it sounds very conditional. It's kind of like, okay, you're saved by grace after all you can do. What if we were to tweak that a little bit? Now, you've got little kids. I've got grandkids. It's kind of like you won't get your dessert until after you eat your dinner.
Right.
This is kind of giving the impression that you're going to actually tell your kids, well, you're going to get your dessert in spite of eating your dinner. No Mormon would go along with that kind of interpretation.
Right.
They know that there's conditions that need to be met. Faust is making it very clear that there's conditions that need to be met. So to somehow give it the interpretation that it means in spite of all we can do just does not fit the explanations that either Mormon leaders themselves have given or what we find in their manuals, like True to the Faith. Mm-hmm. It talks about that. I think it's on page 77 or something like that. It actually says that it's a conditional statement.
Right.
So for a Mormon to try and make it sound like in spite of all you can do, if a Mormon is saying that to us, it's almost like a confession. They're admitting that the way it's been understood is going to be impossible to meet it. Because nobody does all that they can do.
Right.
Some of us have good days, some of us have bad days, and we're not always doing all that we can do. In fact, I don't really think we ever really are doing all we can do because of our sinfulness. So that becomes a problem.
Dallin H. Oaks, in a 1998 conference, and it's titled, Have You Been Saved? He says, and what is all we can do? Referring to 2 Nephi 25. It surely includes repentance, see Alma 24, and baptism, and keeping commandments, and enduring to the end. Moroni pleaded, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. What he does here is he equates repentance, all I can do, with Moroni 10. This is what is required of me. This is what I need to do. In fact, Dieter Uchtdorf in April 2007, he says, true repentance, however, is the condition required so that God's forgiveness can come into our lives. So what do I need to do? What is required? I need true repentance before I get God's forgiveness. In other words, I'm saved by grace after all I can do.
How many more do you have there? We've got, let's save them for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because this is such an important approach, I think. If you, Christian, can just memorize a few of these addresses.
Right.
And we have a lot of these verses that are on our website as well. Do you have this posted yet?
I've got a project that I'm working on that I have not yet completed.
Okay. Yeah. You're kind of like me. You got a lot of projects we've started and have not completed. But this is an excellent approach that we have found actually works to keep the conversation going.
Right.
Because, as we've said, you're not accusing the Mormon of really anything. You're not telling them they're wrong. You're not telling them their doctrine is wrong. You're merely asking them to explain what they believe and hoping that they can tell you that they've actually accomplished it. Because if they can't accomplish it, why would I want to become a Mormon? Why would I want to get on that treadmill to nowhere? If a Mormon can't do it, what makes me think that I can possibly do it? So we're going to discuss this some more tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On Saturday, November 16th, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be signing their book at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Published by Kriegel Publishers, Answering Mormons' Questions tackles 36 of the most common questions asked by Latter-day Saints. Each chapter in the book provides practical explanations about how you can respond to your Mormon friend with gentleness and respect. In addition, a number of useful tools are included, such as a glossary of dozens of LDS terms and their Mormon definitions, as well as evangelism tips at the end of each of the chapters. Answering Mormons' Questions will surely help you in your tactics in sharing your Christian faith. And their book, Mormonism 101, will also be available. Lifeway Christian Store is located at 6336 South State Street in Murray. Easy to get to, easy to find. And again, that's happening on Saturday, November 16th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray. As always, Bill and Eric look forward to meeting you. We'll be right back.